Tomorrow marks the 190th anniversary of the final battle of the War of 1812, the Battle of New Orleans. On January 8, 1815, General Andrew Jackson led a motley band of soldiers, militias, slaves, and Jean Lafitte's pirates against a superior and far larger British force. Jackson's improbable victory became the stuff of legend, and eventually of song, with this hit recorded by Johnny Horton in 1959.
We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales, didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it. Down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
There was a time when the 8th of January was a national holiday, celebrated on a scale to rival the 4th of July. Amateur historian Bob Fulcher has written about what he calls the glorious but forgotten 8th of January. He says when the day began in 1815, the British had amassed some 15,000 troops outside New Orleans. When they started marching early that morning, General Jackson was there waiting for them.
Something like 3,000 men were there with him, and they were ordered to begin firing on those British troops, and they slaughtered them. There were over 3,000 British casualties that day, and the Americans, on the other hand, had 13 killed and 39 wounded by some accounts, and so the results of that battle seemed like a miracle to the people in America.
The irony here is that this battle was being fought when the War of 1812 was technically over. The Treaty of Ghent had been signed, I think, 2 weeks before.
Well, that's right, and I don't expect that meant a whole lot to the British Army. They may have had some awareness of that, I'm not really sure, but had they won that battle and taken New Orleans, they certainly would have used that, regardless of the language of that treaty. They would have used that as an enormous bargaining chip. The traffic on the Mississippi River would have been, of course, controlled by them, and it would have had a very serious impact on our future.
It sounds like the legend of this battle rose in direct proportion to the fortunes of Andrew Jackson of Old Hickory.
Well, it was so lopsided that Jackson was taken from a reputation as an able commander from the Creek War to a national hero that rivaled George Washington. It was said many times in toasts that followed on the 8th that Washington had won independence and Jackson had preserved it.
As the 8th of January began to become this holiday that was celebrated, describe just how elaborate some of these celebrations became.
Well, they did become very big events in all of the major urban centers and small events in some small villages. The observance of the 8th of January began probably the following year with people awarding and giving gifts to Andrew Jackson to commemorate and celebrate his role. But by 1820 in New Orleans, the city had a public celebration, and I think the major national celebrations really began with Jackson's run for president in 1824. Later gatherings included the hanging of transparencies, illuminating the hall with gas lanterns in beautiful ways, banners of all sorts, mottos hung up, one of them in New York in the 1840s had a live eagle there that was fluttering around. And of course always music and dancing and food, and then finally toasts that were often reported in the newspapers.
So everybody would have known that this was a day to be celebrated in grand style if you could.
Well, that's right, and it became a day that was also filled through most of these cities with a military procession. Often they began the day at daybreak with cannon fire, and the processions were very elaborate. Some of them included, it seemed like, almost everybody in the city with a title, and invariably veterans from that War of 1812. And they continued to assemble into the 1870s and parade on the 8th of January.
Well, why do you figure that the 8th of January fell from favor as a national holiday?
There are probably several reasons why it faded from national view. You know, once it became attached to Jackson as a political figure, it really became a celebration for the Democratic Party because Jackson created that party. So became a partisan event, and that probably encouraged some people not to participate because Jackson was always a very controversial figure politically. Also, the Civil War after, of course, 1865 was such an important event in people's lives. It really overshadowed folks' memory of the War of 1812.
Well, you've brought in a recording today that sprang sometime later from the Battle of New Orleans. Let's take a listen to some of that.
Well, that's old Tom Douglas, born in 1868. And I'd say he observed the 8th of January by playing that wonderful fiddle tune every year. His son brought him to a radio station, WDOD in Chattanooga in the 40s, and cut this track. So it's wonderful, crackly, but beautifully performed version of the 8th of January. About every fiddler in Tennessee, Kentucky, all throughout Appalachia plays that old tune. It was a well-known tune and the one that was used by Jimmy Driftwood, that high school history teacher that wrote The Battle of New Orleans. It turned into a number one hit.
So fiddlers would know this song, and somewhere in the back of their brain would know something about January 8th.
Oh, yes, they all knew what had happened on the 8th, and I think a lot of them probably pulled their fiddle out and played that tune every year on the 8th. I believe they've kept faith with the 8th as well as anyone in the country.
Well, do you have any special plans for tomorrow?
Well, you know, I pick a little banjo, Melissa, so I'll probably pull mine out and play a piece of that 8th of January, too.
Well, Bob Fulcher, happy forgotten holiday.
Happy 8th to you tomorrow.
Bob Fulcher is an amateur historian in Tennessee. He's the author of an article called The Glorious But Forgotten 8th of January, once a day of celebration to mark the 1815 victory in the Battle of New Orleans.
Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.